We're beginning a brand new message series today that I'm super excited about. It may not excite you, but hopefully by the end of this series, you're going to be more in love, more familiar with, more acquainted with, and in better friendship with God than you've ever been in your life, because you know more of who God is through the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to talk about God missing in our lives, a huge part of God missing in our lives because of the missing God in our life through the missing presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Let me read a story to you really quick that I came across as I was studying for this message. In 1998, a 14-year-old Natasha Ryan vanished without explanation from her hometown of Rockhampton, Australia. Her disappearance was eventually linked to a man named Leonard Fraser, who was also known as the Rockhampton Rapist, who was serving time in prison for the murder of another girl. In a secretly recorded conversation with his fellow inmate, Fraser confessed to the murder of four girls, one of who happened to be Natasha Ryan. Though Ryan's body was never found, after missing for 4 years, the convicted killer confessed to her murder, and nobody doubted that she was dead. So the case is closed, right? Her family held a funeral. There was a trial for his murder in 2003, so there was absolutely no doubt that she was missing and that she was dead. Well, as it turns out, Fraser wasn't actually being honest in his confession, which means she may not actually be dead at all. After receiving an anonymous tip, police raided the home of Ryan's boyfriend, Scott Black, just 2.5 miles away from the house where she grew up and the house from which she disappeared. They found the girl very much alive. She was hiding inside of a wardrobe. That's right. She had been crashing at her boyfriend's for 4.5 years, just 2 miles away. For half a decade, she was living in secret, more than happy to let her family believe that she had been killed by a serial rapist. Wasn't like she was having an awesome time. She had to stay inside the house all the time. She never left during the day. And every time somebody came over, she had to hide inside the wardrobe. Now, her boyfriend, though, continued to live a very active social life, even at one time dating her sister. All for the illusion, I suppose. Ryan told police that she couldn't leave because the lie had become too big. Since her boyfriend Black had lied under oath about his girlfriend's disappearance, he spent a year in jail for perjury. But the couple bounced back afterwards, selling their wedding photos to a magazine for $200,000. They're still together this day with the son. I'm assuming she doesn't sleep in the wardrobe anymore, but you never know. She may have become accustomed to that. The reality is, people disappear all the time under horrible circumstances. Some are never found. The mystery's never solved. But the reality is, inside of those disappearances, there are some people. You wouldn't believe how many stories I ran across of people who made themselves disappear and simply don't want to be found. Sometimes it's easy for us to believe that there are things about God that he doesn't want us to discover about him. That there are character traits, or there is some of him that he just wants to hold back, because it makes it easier for us to then not take on the responsibility of discovering more of who he is. In this case, this family searched, the police searched, people did their due diligence. They went out to find this girl, but she intentionally stayed hidden from them with the conspiracy of her boyfriend to never be found. And she might never have been found if it weren't for somebody turning her in. But I'm going to tell you this, there is literally nothing about God that he doesn't want you to know about him. He's gone to incredible lengths to reveal himself to us, but there is a very important part of God. There's a very important thing that we're missing in our lives. It's the discovery of the fullness of who God is through knowing the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You might think, well, I don't think the Holy Spirit's really missing from my life. Is he? Well, let's do this. Ask yourself a few questions and Maybe we'll just sort of start the investigation to discover whether the Holy Spirit is genuinely missing in our lives. Question one is, what evidence do I have that the Holy Spirit is present in my life? I mean, if you were to say, well, here are the things that I know that the Holy Spirit is doing in my life and is present in my life, here are those things. So that would be evidence that leads us to conclude that you know the Holy Spirit and then you're in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Could you describe the Holy Spirit to someone who asked? Tell me about the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What does he do? What's his purpose in your life? When's the last time that you believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you or that you've spoken directly to the Holy Spirit? What proof is there that when he speaks to you that you live in obedience? Because if we know the Holy Spirit, then we respond to the Holy Spirit for who he really is. And then ask yourself this question, how much do you actually know about the Holy Spirit? I mean, God forbid that your spouse ever went missing, but if the police came and said, well, tell me about your wife, and you're like, she's got blondish, or is it brown? I don't know, maybe it could even be black hair. I gotta tell you, I don't know. It's been a little while since I've seen her. What color are her eyes? A hazily blue, maybe? A greenish brown? She tall, short? Yeah. She's one of those. They might say, I'm sorry, are you actually married to? How long have you guys been married? Do you truly know your wife? Or if you're in a conversation about one of your kids or about your parents and somebody says, tell me about your kids. And you really couldn't tell them much except general descriptions that anybody could have discovered off of Facebook, who your kids are. It would be tragic and heartbreaking for somebody to hear you describe somebody that you should be in love with, that you have intimate relationship with, and you can't describe them. And I feel like the Holy Spirit, though he is present all throughout Scripture, as present as God the Father is and God the Son, that you and I have not connected with him the way we were supposed to. So my hope is at the end of this sort of case that we're going to go on over the next 4 weeks, that we know him. Because by knowing him, we come into relationship with him. And through coming into relationship with him, life changes dramatically for us. Now, there are some reasons we don't know the Holy Spirit. And one is because if you ask yourself, how hard have I worked to know the Holy Spirit? You might have to answer yourself honestly and say, not very hard. I haven't really gone on any sort of journey to discover who he is. But listen to what the Bible says in Philippians 2, 12 through 13. It's in your notes. It's, of course, in your Summit app. You can open the Bible in there. Or if you have a Bible right in front of you or one on your phone, you can go there. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. It's on the screens to my left and right. My dear friends, you've always obeyed God. You obeyed while I was with you, and you have obeyed even more while I'm not with you. So continue to work your own salvation. And here's what it literally means in the Aramaic. Work the work of your life. Do it with fear and trembling. Now, we don't like those words, but it literally means in holy awe of God. Because God is working in you. He wants your plans and your acts to fulfill his good purpose, which means to accomplish the good things you desire to do. So all that says this, when we're living in obedience to God, the process is still not over. Just because we're doing good things in one area doesn't mean that things have been worked out completely in our lives. There's still room for you and I to grow. No matter how well things are between you and your relationship with Jesus Christ, there's still room to improve. And that's why the Bible says to continue to work the work of your life. Continue to do the good works that lead to you getting what you genuinely want from life. And part of that journey and part of that adventure for you and I is discovering more about who God is through discovering who the Holy Spirit is in our life. And so to solve the case of the missing God in my life, I have to start by number one, admitting that I'll never find him if I don't confess that he's missing from my life. So before I get too far in, I want to establish some biblical truth. in the Old Testament, before Jesus's ministry on earth, okay, so the Old Testament and New Testament are separated by the Old Covenant, the way things used to be before Jesus, and then the New Covenant, the way things are after Jesus's ministry and during Jesus's ministry, okay? So in the Old Testament, there was a way of doing things. And that way was that God created us for his pleasure, and we could at one time walk hand in hand with God, side by side. It says that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They walked in the garden with him. They were literally in fellowship physically with God the Father. But then Adam and Eve sinned, and sin put a separation barrier between us and God. God cannot be in the presence of sin because God is purely holy. And so God had to manifest his presence. He had to materialize his presence in a very, very limited way with very, very select people who were right before him. And so you'll see God appear to people in very limited ways. And even when people came to worship him, they could not go close to him. God's presence was something called, I won't get into all of it, but it was called the Shekinah glory. And it was contained within the Ark of the Covenant. If you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, then you know what the Ark of the Covenant, or if you actually read your Bible, then you know what it is too. Either way, you've got good theology. God's presence was in the Ark of the Covenant. And only the high priest once a year could go into the presence of the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God in that way. You'll see the presence of God actually really adversely affect people who were not worthy to come into his presence. So it was a very limited way. Then Jesus comes. God does not like this arrangement, by the way. God does not like that sin is separating him from his people. He wants to be in relationship with us. So after a course of time and after letting really all things unravel so that we understand our need for God, he sends Jesus his son, who's the third or second person of the Trinity. And Jesus physically walks with us, literally physically walks with us. But Jared, come up here for a second, if you will. Now let's say Jared's got some good facial hair going. So let's make Jesus Jared and Jared Jesus, okay? If I am one of Jesus's closest disciples, I have greater access to Jesus. But Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. So Jesus sleeps at times. Jesus retreats away at times. Jesus goes away. And let's say this, that there are other people who will do this when there's somebody popular or somebody powerful or somebody influential. We all want to be close to him. But Jared, Jesus, has other people who want to be near him too. So I maybe get even more distance. There's more people here and more people here and more people here. And so it's very easy for me to get pushed out of relationship with him. I want to spend time with him, but I can't. And he wants to spend time with me, but he can't. So there's at best 12 disciples all competing for Jesus' attention. And then there are hundreds upon even thousands of those who want time with him, and there's only one of him, and he can only physically be in one place at one time. So when he departs and goes away, I don't have relationship with him. I can't be around him. I can't listen to him. I can't talk to him. I can't befriend him. I can't grow under him, right? So even we all think it'd be so easy and so cool to follow Jesus, but if he was right here physically, it would be impossible for you and I to be followers of Jesus if Jesus was physically present with us. Because think of this whole room of people just wanting to be with him, and there's only one of him, and there's only so many hours in a day, and there's only so much time he can spend with each one of us. And so physically, even when God was present physically with all of us, he still wasn't accessible to all of us. Thank you, Jesus. You can have a seat. He prepared for weeks to do that dramatic role, and I appreciate all the commitment to that. Then Jesus said something. He said, I must go away from you. And then God came to us in the most accessible, wonderful way that he possibly could in spirit in every one of our lives. Listen, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. We'll take care of that in another message. Who will never leave you. And just in case you're confused and think that Jesus is using the pronoun you, meaning you instead of you, right? Because sometimes we get when Somebody stands up and have you ever waited outside in a line? It's maybe a Black Friday sale and the employee comes out and they go, "You need to line up." You think they're talking to you and that you are an exception to that. You get to elbow people in the face and you get to crawl under barriers and you get to do a bunch of other things. And sometimes in scripture, when we hear you, we think it's this kind of you and that it doesn't apply to us, whether it's the way we should be living our lives or whether it's promises that God has made. But listen to what it says. "But you do not live in the flesh, you live in the spirit," assuming, of course, that the Spirit of God lives inside of you. The truth is that anyone, any one person, any singular person who does not have the Spirit of the Anointed living within does not belong to God, capital S, Spirit. Here's what that scripture says. If you are a follower of Christ, you have received in yourself the presence of God dwelling in you. And Jesus said that Spirit never leaves you, that the Holy Spirit, capital S, the person, the presence of God in your life never departs from you. And you go, ta-da, he's not missing. He's there all the time. I can't even get rid of him if I want to. And sometimes we want to, right? You don't want the Holy Spirit around when you're doing dumb stuff. You don't want the Holy Spirit around when you're cussing up a storm. You don't want the Holy Spirit around when you're lusting after somebody. You want the Holy Spirit around when you're treating somebody poorly. The Bible says he's present with us. He is the most accessible that God has ever been to us. And you go, well, I don't get it then. What's the big deal? He's not missing. There was this one time that Lisa was home with the kids. Carson was maybe 2 or 3 at the time, and Cole, our middle one, was about 3 years older, was about 7 or 8. And Cole was sitting on the couch and he was watching TV. And Lisa said, "Cole, I'll be in the garage if you need me." And she went out and proceeded to work in the garage. And about a half hour later, she hears the doorbell ring. And she hears it from inside the garage, and so she walks around and she goes and answers the door. And she sees our neighbor standing there, who we were not close with and didn't know that well, friendly hellos and waves and passing each other on the street, but no relationship whatsoever. So it was odd that he was at our door. And he said, "Oh, good, you're okay." And she's like, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, I have your son Cole at my house. He came and knocked on the door. He said you were missing and he couldn't find you." And she said, "I've been in the garage. I told him that I'd be in the garage. He clearly wasn't listening to me." And he said, "Well, I told him to stay there in case something was wrong over here. Like in case there was a bloody corpse on the ground over here. I wanted to come in and be able to shield him for that." Now, here's the thing. Lisa was present all the time. Cole was ignorant of her presence. Even though Lisa had given Cole instruction audibly, she didn't do it telepathically. She didn't write a note and leave it somewhere. She spoke to Cole and said, "Cole, I'll be in the garage in case you need me." Cole, watching TV, ignored. Do you see where I'm going with this? That the Holy Spirit can be present in your life and you still have to confess he's missing. You still have to confess that he's been speaking to you, but you haven't been listening. That's why this scripture says this. "Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit that God gave you and that he lives within you?" Why would Paul ask that question if people were aware that the Holy Spirit was there with them? "For God has brought you," or "so your own body does not belong to you, for God has brought you with a great price, so every part of your body give glory back to God because he owns it." The Holy Spirit is supposed to be present in every part of your life, your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, your spiritual body. The Holy Spirit is supposed to permeate everything in your life. So how is it that you continue to live like the Holy Spirit's not with you at all? He's asking the question because he goes, aren't you aware that literally God lives within you through the presence of the Holy Spirit? So the question really isn't whether he's literally there. It's whether you have made him present in your life. Secondly is this, to solve the case of the missing God in my life, I have to start by admitting that I'll never find him by hoping to avoid him. I'll never find him by hoping to avoid him. So listen, there's a lot of well-meaning denominations within Christianity that have made it their goal to highlight spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit that are listed in the Bible. They're not made up, that are given by the Holy Spirit, and these denominations feel as if those things have been undervalued and underappreciated and underemphasized, and so they make it their goal to emphasize those things. And in doing so, what's happened is there's been an imbalance in the shift of priorities to where it becomes, unfortunately, one of the most important things that they do in their journey as a follower of Christ is to focus exclusively on these limited gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are legitimate, which are real, which are genuinely given by God. But what ends up happening is when you move all of your focus onto a limited number of things, you begin to sort of forget that there are a bunch of other things that should be also balancing our lives as followers of Christ. And so unhealthiness comes from imbalance, right? Some of you know that you can get into working out. You start seeing results. You start loving it. You love the way you feel. And all of a sudden, it's all you do. And you start neglecting things that you used to care about and neglect people you used to care about. And it becomes an obsession. And people start going, hey, you might want to just take it back a little bit. And then you start feeling resentful and hurt that they would attack you for trying to be healthy. And you've got all kinds of justification and rationalization why it's okay to put all of your eggs in that basket. And that's what's happened in certain denomination, in certain movements, is there's been an overemphasis. And so what comes out of unhealthy and imbalanced over-focus on something is weirdness. Give Christians enough time and enough availability with each other and they'll make things weird. Truthfully. And I'm sure you've been around some of those people and been in some of those services. Listen to what it says. That Paul literally addresses this very thing to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Suppose the whole church meets together and everyone speaks in different languages. You've also heard the word tongues. And tongues is not some weird spiritual thing. Tongues, the literal word, just means languages. So when you say, because back in the 40s and 30s and 20s, they would say, and he was speaking in a foreign tongue. They would just say he was speaking in a foreign language by saying he was speaking a foreign tongue. So when you see the word tongues in the Bible, it means languages. Okay, it's that simple. Meet together and speaks in different languages. If some people come in who do not understand, who don't know what's going on, or they don't believe, they're not followers of Christ, they will say you are crazy. Paul warns against us getting together and for the wrong reasons using the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because he also goes on to say that speaking in another language is simply to let unbelievers know the gospel, because that's what happened in the book of Acts, is there was all these believers who were speaking in languages they hadn't learned, and they were literally teaching the gospel to people who spoke those very languages. And so Paul said, there's a purpose for that, but when you all come together as believers, and nobody needs the benefit of you speaking in a different language, people are gonna walk in and go, y'all are crazy, and turn around and run back out the door. Not only does that happen, but certainly somebody probably in the course, if you've been around church long enough, has said something to you in the name of God. A thus saith the Lord. Because if it's in King James, you better listen, right? If it's King James, it's directly from God, because that's he speaks in 16th century King James. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit, capital S. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. The Apostle John clearly warns us that people are going to use the authority and the name of the Holy Spirit to say things that are not congruent with God's word. They're not in alignment with the truth of God's word. There's people who believe they're speaking on behalf of God that aren't. And I say all that because this, those kind of things can make the Holy Spirit appear weird because we indict him with Christians' weirdness. So we've got Pentecostal and charismatic believers who are genuine, sincere, who love God, who desperately want to please God, who have overemphasized certain things and have gotten carried away and have done weird things, and that repels us, and they've done it in the name of the Holy Spirit. And then we've had people who say things and they say it and they pretend like they're prophetic and they say that they're giving you a thus saith the Lord, and they're not necessarily speaking, not to say that they can't, but to say that people have done things in the name of the Holy Spirit and maligned his name because they were wrong. And we go, I don't want nothing to do with that Holy Spirit thing. Because if I get around the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go around speaking in tongues in the middle of work or giving people thus saith the Lord's while I'm standing in line at the bank. And I just don't want to do it. Because we make it sound like the Holy Spirit's going to possess us and turn us into this weirdo. So you're not going to find the Holy Spirit if you're trying to avoid him. And number three and finally is this. To solve the case of the missing God in my life, I have to start by admitting that I'll never recognize him if I don't know anything about him. In the same manner, if I sent you out and I said, hey guys, there's a little child missing from the children's ministry. We need everyone's help finding that child. And you said, what does the child look like? Is it a boy or a girl? Just guys, stop. We don't have time for this. Go look for this child. You're looking at every child. Is this the one? No, that's not the one. You dummy, go look for the missing child. That child's right there. Of course it's not missing. So we can't get up from this place and go take off and just go, I want to find the Holy Spirit. And then you attribute anything to the Holy Spirit or you attribute nothing to the Holy Spirit. You have to know who the Holy Spirit is so that you can find the Holy Spirit. And having conversations with people or just simply hearing them talk about the Holy Spirit, there's sort of a widely held misconception that the Holy Spirit is a personless person. Here's what I'm saying. We know God the Father because we have the whole Old Testament to sort of depict who God the Father is. And then we have the ministry of Jesus in the New Testament and the Gospels. And we see all of this sort of manifestation of Jesus's character, his teaching, his personality, his love, his compassion. And then we hear references to the Holy Spirit and we just kind of go, oh, that's the Spirit of God. In the same way, I would say to you, I love your spirit. You're so gentle and so loving, and I can see Christ in you, and I love your spirit. I'm not referring to the Holy Spirit, right? I'm referring to your spirit. And so sometimes we just attribute that God has a spirit. Well, God is spirit. God doesn't have a spirit. God is spirit. And so we just sort of clumped the Holy Spirit in. In the same way, I bet you don't like being referred to, I'm sure Lisa doesn't like being referred to as Pastor Chris's wife. She's got her own identity and her own value and her own skills and her own abilities and her own personality and her own character and her own opinion about things. And so none of us want to be clumped into somebody else. We all want to be recognized and valued for who we are. And we miss the Holy Spirit because we don't know the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a few scriptures to illustrate what I'm talking about. When Jesus returned from the Jordan River, he was full of the Holy Spirit in the same manner in which you and I, as followers of Christ, are temples, residencies, housing for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led him away from cities and town out into the desert, which means this. Jesus was in relationship with the Holy Spirit. There was a thing that was happening between them. It wasn't Jesus's spirit leading him. It was the Holy Spirit, a separate person of the Trinity, leading him. Secondly, in Romans 5:5, it says, for we know how dearly God loves us, that's referring to God the Father, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Holy Spirit is someone that God the Father has sent. And you're going, wow, this is sort of confusing. I mean, who is? So think of it this way. A corporation is usually headed by chief executives. There's a chief executive officer, and that CEO is the head of that whole organization, but works in perfect cooperation with, say, the CFO, the chief financial officer, and the COO, the chief operating officer. They all have different responsibilities. There's one that leads, but each one of them has authority to do different things. And each one of them is perfectly in unity in their authority and in their power. It's three divine persons that constitute one God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when we hear the Holy Spirit, we are hearing that God has sent his literal presence to us through the third person, the Holy Spirit. Let me go a little bit further. John 16, 12 through 15. Jesus is saying this to help us understand what the Holy Spirit does and who the Holy Spirit is. I have so much more to say, Jesus is telling us, but you can't absorb it right now. Jesus went, I could stay here for years more and you're still not ready to get all that I'm trying to teach you. The Spirit, capital S, of truth will come and guide you in all truth. So Jesus is beginning to introduce the role in the office of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I am teaching you, but you can't receive it. The Holy Spirit is going to come and you're going to receive truth because of his presence in your life. He will not speak his own words to you. He will speak what he hears, revealing to you the things that come and bringing glory to me. The Spirit, in other words, the Holy Spirit, helps us connect with Jesus Christ. The only reason you have a relationship with Jesus Christ is because you've been drawn by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been present in your life, active in your life. The whole reason you have a relationship with God is because the Holy Spirit has drawn you into a relationship. The Spirit has unlimited access to me, to all that I possess and know, just as everything the Father has is mine. So let's stop right there. Jesus has now declared the Trinity. He says, the Spirit has full access to me, everything that I have, just like I have full access to the Father. You see the triangle? They all have connection to each other. Jesus establishes that there are the three of them working in perfect unity together. That is the reason that I'm confident he will care for my own and reveal the path to you. Your success as a follower of Christ is 100% hinged on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So if you have a broken relationship with the Holy Spirit, you can never have a complete fulfilling relationship with Jesus Christ. So that should motivate every one of us as followers of Christ to want to know the Holy Spirit better and be in better relationship and in perfect friendship with the Holy Spirit, because that brings us into complete knowledge of who Jesus is and what he created us for. Everything that we care about, seeing God's plan fulfilled in our lives, hinges on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So you definitely don't want him missing from your life. You definitely want to be in a relationship and a friendship. You want him to be found. You don't want to go to the neighbor's house going, I don't know where he is. And he's like, I told you where I was. I've been here the whole time. You just didn't look for me. You just weren't listening to me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second? Just give yourself a moment in which you can sort of reflect on what God's saying. Challenging you to, asking you these questions. How much do you know about me through the person of the Holy Spirit? How close are you to my presence dwelling in you through the presence of the Holy Spirit? Don't you remember that you're literally a temple of the Holy Spirit and that every part of your life should be saturated with his presence? And if you just say this morning, I want to know God better. I want to know the person of the Holy Spirit. I don't want him to remain a mystery to me. I don't want there to be anything unknown to me. I want everything to be uncovered to me because I know that my success as a follower of Christ hinges on my relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I want to know. I don't want to avoid him. I know there's weird people out there who do weird things, but they don't represent the wholeness of who God is. They're just people trying to figure it out. I'm gonna stop judging God by judging people. I wanna know him. I mean, truly, truly know him. That's my commitment today, is to go on this journey and investigate who the Holy Spirit is and know him in his fullness. And if that's you, that's just your declaration this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, I wanna know the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and we ask for forgiveness for neglecting our relationship, for not realizing and recognizing and appreciating your presence in our lives, for at times ignoring you, undervaluing you, attributing things to you that shouldn't be attributed to you at all. Our commitment today to you is this: we want to know you. We want to connect with you. We want to be in friendship with you, because you are the one who brings us to a fuller knowledge of Christ. You are the one who brings us into a more fulfilling, exciting relationship with Christ. You uncover truth. If truth seems evasive to us, knowing you more brings us into better relationship with truth. So we collectively begin that journey today with you. We invite you to make yourself known to us in ways that we haven't allowed you to before, but we give you permission to now. We thank you for the beginning of this journey and for what comes as a result of it. We're on the lookout for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.